Hi, I'm Roxanne McMacken, and I'm here to interview my mother, Cindy McMacken. It is November 29th, 2018. Say hi.
Hi, I'm Cindy McMacken, Roxy's mother.
And I'm here to ask you a couple questions.
Great, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, so what was your childhood like?
My childhood was kind of interesting. I grew up in Kansas. Have you heard of that? It's in the middle of the country. And we didn't have much money, but we had four kids and really cool adventures out like in forts and built igloos and drove around in campers and went camping and fishing. And, you know, it was like very simple. No cell phones, you know, lots of walking places, you know. If you got lost, you got lost because there's no way to get a hold of anybody. So it was interesting times.
You built igloos?
Yep, I built igloos in my front yard when it snowed in Kansas.
Whoa.
Yep, we got lots of snow. We'd have snow days. Wouldn't have to go to school because there's so much snow. And we'd go out and make snow angels or snowmen or igloos or forts, snowball fights. It'd be fun.
Is it hard to make an igloo?
Yes, actually. We didn't do it like, you know, where you build like blocks and make an actual igloo. We would more or less pile up snow and then make it really, you know, hard, compact, and dig the outside and then just kind of form it. And the inside you could crawl Ooh. In and stuff. It was fun.
All right.
And it's actually warm inside them, like they say. It's kind of fun.
What was the worst thing that you did as a child?
Worst thing that I did? Well, I mean, like, I did bad things, like got in fights at school and got suspended and stuff like that. When I was little, I mean, interestingly enough, when I was little, did you know I lived when there was segregation? So there were schools for black children and schools for white children. And they started forced busing. And so they would pick up a busload of black kids and bring them to my school and pick up a busload of white kids and take them to the black school. And that's how they forced integration and stopped having segregation. But it was really hard because none of the kids wanted to change schools. And so even the black kids would come in and start fights. And, you know, it was just kind of, it was a good concept. It was just maybe ill-conceived the way they did it. So there were a lot of fights. I was involved in a lot of fights just because people were kind of unhappy. It will calm down after a while, but I mean, I did other things, but I fought a lot. When I moved to California, people made fun of my accent. Like, I washed the clothes or whatever I said, push the door open because I was from Kansas. Got rid of my accent fast, but I used to get in fights there too, so. It was simple times. You fought when you were in trouble. You'd go out behind the, you know, you'd set a time, 5 o'clock. Go out and fight, and the next day everything would be fine.
It like they wouldn't talk about it.
I mean, you know, usually it was a few punches, and you know, an adult would come in, pull the kids out by their ears. They, you know, or someone would break it up. It really wasn't that big of a deal.
And what was like, what was your favorite thing to do?
When I was little, I loved to go play in this empty lot behind my house, and we'd build forts and get, it was fun. Or I like to visit my grandparents. I had a great set of grandparents, and my parents would send us to visit them for 1 week every summer, and it was really fun because I'd go out with my grandpa and cruise around in his gas truck and fill up the, I mean, it sounds dumb, but we would like capture turtles and race turtles and do all sorts of random Whoa. Cool stuff. It was just really fun. Just fun.
They're not turtles, though. They're tortoises if they're on land.
Okay, tortoises. Well, we would do all sorts of fun stuff. Just dumb stuff, but fun. So I liked going to visit my grandparents, and we used to go skiing occasionally. Even in Kansas, there's no skiing because it's all flat. We'd drive to Colorado. That was fun. I like going on family trips.
And then, I think I've heard this before, but how did you meet my dad?
Oh, that's funny, because I was in Hawaii, on Maui, and your dad was in Hawaii for a golf tournament, and I went there with my girlfriend, because she had a boyfriend that was playing in the golf tournament, and I never saw your dad until the morning I was leaving, And my girlfriend changed our flight, and his friend changed their flight, and it just happened to be changed to the same flight. And we happened to be on the same flight, and then we just started talking, and then we hung out a little bit at the airport, and that's how we met.
For real? How did you...
20-minute flight between Maui and Oahu. We were going Maui, Oahu, and then my girlfriend and I were going to an Eagles concert, which is a band, on Oahu, and Ron and his friend were going back to Los Angeles where they lived. I lived in Northern California at the time.
How did you, like, keep in touch?
Well, we did have cell phones by then, so I worked traveling a lot, so I used to call when I was on the road a couple hours, we'd talk and stuff, but my friend and his friend were dating, and so we just kind of tagged along with them, you know, to all their little things that they went on, and we were just friends, and then we weren't friends anymore. We decided we liked each other, and we got married a year after we met.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. It was nice. And our friends broke up pretty quick. That's okay.
Yeah. What was your, like, thought process behind moving to Hawaii?
Oh, it was interesting. We had some work here. And we were in the process of maybe selling Pan Pacific. And we had some things we thought, well, it'd be good for the kids to have a change just for 1 year. It'd be helpful to have executives on the Hawaii Islands with our big projects. So we said, oh, we'll move over there for 1 year. It's kind of a fun family adventure. And so I moved here first with 3 kids, you, Raquel, and Colton, because you guys could get out of school, but Curtis and Riley couldn't. And so then they came over for the start. Curtis started as a sophomore. Riley is a freshman. You started in the 3rd grade. And that was a rough one, but Curtis had a great time, so we never left. Really, we stayed because Curtis was flourishing here. He did really well here.
And how did you handle the transition?
I didn't handle it as well as your dad, I think, because, you know, we're, like, isolated. He doesn't really have to do anything, like, go get groceries and, you know, do things, like, places. But the one thing he likes to do is drive the kids to school. So that 45 minutes there and 45 minutes back, thank God I don't have to do that every day, so. But, the one thing I don't like the most is when your dad and I used to travel. We used to travel for something fun. Like, we'd leave you guys at home, but we'd go to, like, Paris or Vegas or, like, something fun. Now when we leave you, we're going to work, and it feels really painful to leave your kids to go to work and fly away from them to go to work. I mean, it's sad to kind of go somewhere, but you're going somewhere fun. That's cool, but and we'd have to travel a lot, especially at the beginning. We were gone a lot more than we are now. Now it's easier. We have it kind of set up better, so.
Yeah. All right. We got some of the pre-made questions I can do, too. Can you tell me someone who had a big influence on your life? And would you tell me about some of the most important lessons that person taught you?
Well, my dad definitely probably has more of an influence on my life than any other person. And he really taught me strength and to stand up for myself. We got into a lot of situations where maybe people, you know, we didn't have a lot of money. And both my parents would always say, like, money can't buy you class, right? Just to be a nice person and always try to, you know, pick up garbage or help others or do little things for people around you, smile, wash windows, you know, whatever, clean up after yourself. But my dad, more than those little things that you do, he always taught me to, you know, stand up for myself, fight back when it's important, you know, pick your battles, don't be fighting all the time, but stand up for yourself and work on just helping others around you. And I think that's really important too, because helping others around you is not only nice, but it g- gives you a sense of purpose, and it makes you happier when you know you have contributed to the people around you. My dad is always helping people, going picking up groceries for people who are sick, or you know, setting up things for them, or driving out a little old lady out in the middle of nowhere, helping her do something or fix their porch or whatever. He's always doing random nice things for people, and I think that makes all the difference in the world. If more people were like my dad, I think the world would be a better place. So if I can just try to keep doing things and like he does. He's funny. He'll walk into a room and he'll see, like, you know, there's a light bulb out or a pitcher crooked or whatever. He doesn't walk into a room and just sit down and enjoy himself. He walks in and he sees how he can be helpful in that situation or wherever he is. He's really funny. So, but he never really let people talk down to him or to his kids. And so he taught me the value of, you know, sticking up for myself and high self. You know, I have a pretty good self-worth or self-image. My sisters didn't get that so much, but they hung around my mom, so maybe that was... Maybe that was a problem. No, she's a good person too, but I think my dad's the best.
All right. This is one I've always wanted to know. It's not okay. One of the pre-suggested questions is okay. What was, like, the thought you had? What drove you to have 5 kids?
Yeah, no, that's kind of weird. Like, when your dad and I got together, we weren't sure what we were going to do. We had both been married before, and we didn't want to get into a situation where we were entering into a marriage that we weren't going to be happy in. So we almost, like, interviewed each other. It was like...
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. So we interviewed each other a lot about all of our likes and dislikes and plans and money and dreams and hopes and, you know, religion and... taxes and money and politics. Like, we went through, like, these checklists. It was really funny. We kept flying back and forth and interviewing each other, like, are we going to really do this, and what will it mean, and what's 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever.
Wait, so, hang on. You what? Did this after you got married?
No, before. I lived in Northern California, and he lived in Southern California, so I would fly down there, and we'd spend all day talking about it, and then I'd fly home. Then the next day, he'd fly to Northern California, we'd spend all day talking about it, and then... You know, before we made a decision, like, all right, we're going to get together. So one of the days we met, he said, I want to have kids right away. And I'm like, ooh, I don't even think I want to have kids. And I had spent a lot of my life with the kids, like church camps. I was a camp counselor. I was a summer camp counselor. I was always around kids. I didn't really think I liked kids that much. So I still don't actually like kids that much. I like my kids. And a few other kids, but so he said he wanted to have kids right away, and I was like, oh, I don't know, and I don't know. I thought I was older, 30, to have kids. Now it's normal to have kids at 30, your first kid, but I don't know. So I said, okay. So we had, I go, let's have one girl and one boy. So we have one boy and then one girl. And then a few years go by, and I said, you know, I think just one more boy would be nice.
Oh, that's true?
It's true. And so we have these two little girls that are fantastic, over the top, the best thing that ever happened to me. And then we had Colton.
Riley told me that a long time ago, that you had me and Raquel because you wanted to have another son. And I thought she was joking.
No, legitimately, I was thinking, like, oh, I'll just have one more. How about another boy? And then it turned out to be a girl. I go, okay, that's it. It was funny because when I went to the to have my ultrasound for you, and it was a girl, and I was crying, like, really crying. And Ron's like, oh, my God, you're so sad. I go, no, I'm so happy. I'm just so happy. I can't explain it, but this is the happiest day of my life. Even though I had thought I wanted to. So you were like a complete and utter surprise because we weren't trying to have, we were trying to, like, have a doctor help us have a boy. But in the process of going through the process, we just ended up getting pregnant anyway. And then we went to have the ultrasound. And the lady said, oh, you're having a girl. And I was bawling and bawling. And he's like, what is wrong with you? You know, and I'm like, I'm just so happy. I can't explain it. I'm just inexplicitly happy. Like, and I was just so happy as a pregnant. My happiest pregnancy was with you, for sure. I was like, I was really happy at all my pregnancies. So I had easy pregnancies. I felt good. I could do anything. I felt like I could change the world when I was pregnant. So I don't know. I had really good pregnancies. I would have had like 10 kids. Truthfully, because I had so much fun and I loved little babies. I don't really like the age at about 6 months to a year, but I like the babies, and then I like when they can start toddling around and throwing temper tantrums. I think it's awesome.
If you had Colton and Colton then turned out to be a girl, would you just keep having
kids? I probably would have stopped anyways, but you know, I had Colton when I was 40. That's old. So
I heard it wasn't that old.
I would have had 10 kids, legitimately. I loved being pregnant. It was my favorite thing.
You sound like a woman from, like, the 1800s in, like, yeah. a wagon trying to get yeah. to California.
Yeah, more babies, please. No, I loved it. I loved it. I don't know. I didn't think I would love it, but I did. And when I was after, when I was going to have my third child, and I thought I was pregnant, and I turned out not to be. I was so sad. And so I'm like, yep, I'm ready to have more kids. And then I just wanted to have kids until I couldn't anymore. But too long of a gap between Riley and Raquel. It's like almost 4 years. Everybody else is 2 years.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was the gap between Riley and Curtis for a second.
Yeah, I know. They're close. Two years apart.
All right, let's do another one of the pre-made questions, because they're actually pretty good. Can you describe one of your happiest memories?
One of my oh my God, I think of, you know, I said all my happiest memories were my babies, having babies, being pregnant, doing all this stuff. I think, you know, you can't explain it to someone when it happens, but when they, in the hospital, they hand you the baby, it's like crazy that baby was just inside you. And definitely having, I would say, equally with each child when they hand it to you in the hospital is just like the best moment of your life.
So
that's my happiest moment.
You've never had a time where you like you see the baby and you're like 9 months for this?
Well, legitimately when they handed me Curtis, I'm like, this, how did I, it was, he was so big. I'm like, how did I have that inside me? That just doesn't even seem right. But no, it was good.
All right, let's go to the next one. Oh, what are you proudest of? You better not
say my baby
same thing again. No. All right. And you better not answer the same for this one. How would you like to be remembered?
As a good mom? As a monster. How would I like to be remembered? You know, I think if people see me as someone who's trying to help other people most of the time, you know, I gotta say no. I gotta learn to say no sometimes, but I think that's nice.
For all five of us, which kid do you think was like the hardest to raise and why?
Well, Colton is the worst. He doesn't eat or sleep, but he's like, he was the worst. But the hardest as a baby out of the five of you was Raquel.
Oh, I heard about this.
Right? She wouldn't sleep unless you like were holding her. And she was just like, wow, she was a rough one. But that was interesting.
What about, like, Curtis and Riley? Like, I know what Raquel was like when she was little and what Colton was like when he was little because I was, like, right there. But I don't know about Curtis and Riley growing up.
Oh, my God. Curtis was a perfect child. He was so perfect, and he never cried. And he, his teachers loved him. Everybody loved him, and he was so cute. But then in first grade, his teacher didn't like him, and so that's when we had him go get tested and everything. They said he was slightly autistic, and he had trouble making friends. So that was a little sad as a mom, because I recognize he didn't really have friends or have the ability to understand or make friendships. And so we took him to a lot of social learning classes and a lot of anger management classes. But you know, he was such a sweet child, always so sweet. Until he turned about 13, then he just flipped a switch and he was just kind of a dick. No, he turned into a teenager. Like, it was like instantly, like on his 13th birthday. But he was always a very sweet, funny child. And everybody always came to his birthday parties, which I liked. Aww. Even though, you know, he wasn't like a really popular guy or whatever. But then it was fun. And when he went away to St. Margaret's, he went in the sixth grade. And he had a chance to reinvent himself, and that was a good thing for him. But he was a very good child, always very sweet, always very nice, always quiet. Loved train videos, loved to read. He loved to read, always had a book. Riley was the exact opposite of Curtis. She was a bull in a china shop. She ran. As soon as she could walk, she would take off. Like, Curtis, we didn't... Curtis, we didn't have to baby-proof the house, even the stairs. He would just crawl over the side of the stairs and, like, cry until someone came and got him and carried him down the stairs and then back up the stairs whenever. I mean, we had a two-story house. He would roam around, open up cabinets, whatever, but he would never touch or break or, like, you know, like eating the soap or whatever, like, you know, that you have to lock all the stuff in the kitchen, nothing. Or swimming pool, nothing. He would just crawl over, like, close to it, but never get close enough. Riley, she would head first down the stairs. She climbed out of her crib and fell from the top of her crib before she could even walk. We were downstairs. We went there. It was boom from upstairs, this big thud. She was crazy. Curtis could sit in a restaurant for, like, 2 or 3 hours. Just give him some Cheerios or some peas or something, and he would just eat one by one. And if he had a book or a toy, he would just look at it, you know, for hours, even as a baby. Riley, she was very high maintenance, like, still is to some extent, right? But she was always a happy baby, but she was just wanted to go, 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 go. She was a little bit over the top crazy.
And, like, what do you think about him now?
Curtis is very high maintenance. Riley also. And I'm trying to figure out if I was actually a good mom to those two. I haven't figured it out yet. But they're finding their way. They're struggling. You were a very close-knit family. We're a very tight family. We spent a lot of time together. And so it's kind of hard for them to be away. And it's kind of hard for us to have them away, I think. And then when they come back, the dynamics are off. And so we're not very good family apart. And now that we're together, I mean, now when we get together, it's kind of weird. Like, there's too much tension because we've been apart. So we're struggling a little bit, but they're good. Riley's going to graduate awesome from USC. Curtis is going to probably be a student for the rest of his life because he likes it. He likes to learn.
I'm going to get a PhD in everything. I'm Curtis McMackin.
Yeah. Doctor of this, and this.
I never did anything except I went to university like 9 times.
Yeah, that sounds like Curtis. He's in a band now. He's doing debate. He went to Washington, D.C. to be in a debate.
Whoa.
Yeah, and he's in Model UN. So I wish that you had those things at your school here. But he's starting it as a junior in college, so he's going to be fine. They're good. They're good people. You know, nobody's perfect. Everybody has flaws, but all 5 of my kids are pretty close to perfect. We just all are, you know, we all have pros and cons, challenges. We all have challenges.
I think.
Except for you, right?
I'm not good at dancing in the entirety of lower school. Whenever we did May Day and we had to do hula, I was always in the back row, like, as far away from where anyone could see me as possible because I was just so bad at it. And I never paid attention, ever.
Yeah, but you got athletically better as you got. Like, now I think you would be good at it because your coordination is better and your focus is better.
Also, Colton's really bad at dancing. I would say that to his face.
Colton doesn't eat. That's the challenge with Colton.
That's fair.
It's hard to travel with him because he just doesn't eat anything. And then we spoil him. So that's not good either. But then what do you do? He gets mad if he can't eat. I don't know. It's not a good situation.
I think some people, their brain just like that. Like, they eat something that's weird texture.
Yeah.
And their brain just gets all wild. Like, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah, your brain goes crazy. I think that's what his problem is. And we keep saying he'll grow out of it, but he doesn't, so. But we hope so. So all five of my kids are good. Curtis is very, very smart. Riley's actually a lot smarter than she gives on. And you and Raquel are like little crazy geniuses. And then Colton, he's good at some other stuff.
He's good at Legos.
He's great at Legos. He's really good memory. And he's funny, outgoing.
Yeah, like, I know about him. He can remember all his friends' names and their siblings' names and their parents' names and their pets' names and what they like to do. And
their cars and everything.
Yeah, he's just a...
So, and the working memory and in long-term, in those all those memory challenges when you guys got tested, he was, like, off the charts, 99% on any memory thing, and you guys had less good memory.
I've got a bad memory.
Well, you do pretty good.
All right, we got two more of these pre-made ones, okay. And our interview is probably longer than most of them by now.
Okay.
So here is, if this was our very last conversation, is there anything you would want to say to me? Oh, that's
really sad. I don't know, I think about that because you never want to face the fact that there could be a day where we don't ever talk again. And what would I say to you in all those moments, like, you know, say I miss your wedding or your first child or something, right? So if this was our last conversation, I definitely would want you to know that no matter what, there's a part of me that will always be looking out for you. And that to just remember to be yourself and embrace who you are, whoever that is, wacky, wild, perfect, flawed, just be happy with, and try to always recognize that you're worth being happy. You know, like, it's okay to do things to make other people happy. And sometimes to compromise, you know, I don't want to go to the stupid movie, but I'm going to go because my friend wants to go, or my husband wants to go, or my wife, or whatever. It's okay to make compromises, but not always. You're not always number two. It's okay to be number two occasionally, but just recognize that you're worth being number one. And just keep working hard and being a nice person, because that's all life is about, is being a nice person and working hard and helping others, trying to find what makes you happy, and that I love you.
I love you too, Mom. All right, we got one more. This is the last question. You could earn up to 1,000 points on this one.
Oh, I was hoping for $1 million, but all right.
No, you
points
can't
are good.
You can't exchange the points for anything.
Okay, that's okay.
All right, for your great 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 grandchildren listening to this years from now, they get sent to the Library of Congress. So it's like a possibility that someone, like,
what?
if the earth and humanity lives this long, like your great 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 grandchild could hear this, what would you want to say to them? What wisdom do you want to pass on?
Oh my gosh, I think I've done a lot of wisdom already, like be a good person, work hard,
all right,
find happiness.
Tell them but, a joke. But
if there's Five Guys, go eat a Five Guys burger because they're really good. Unless you're a vegetarian, and then I highly recommend, I don't know, Krispy Kreme donuts. But like probably none of that stuff will be around by now. But I don't know, I would tell them to, you know, never be complacent. Keep pushing for the wisdom of keep pushing for something. Keep finding something. Maybe there's, maybe you like watercoloring and you've never tried it. Try new things. Explore. Travel. You know, love others. Look out for yourself. I don't know. That's kind of wisdom-y, isn't it?
Do the polar ice caps still exist? We used to have polar bears.
Also, let them know Donald Trump was probably the best president ever in the history of mankind, except that he's kind of mean to people, and I don't like that.
All right, so in like 100 years, when like they learn in history classes that like a year or maybe a couple of years after you said this, Donald Trump like does the worst shit of any U.S. president, like worse than the Trail of Tears kind shit.
Yeah. Then they'll go, wow, she was dumb. Do you know that I predicted certain things on the radio that happened? Like, anyway, that's a whole nother story. But yes, so I've said things before that came true. So I'll just say he gets the Nobel Peace Prize and...
We used to have red panda bears. We used to have panda bears. We used to have koalas.
Are you saying stuff to your great-grandchildren?
Hey, yourself? Hey. Do you still have... What are they called? It's not just tree frogs, is it? There's got to be more to it than just the name is tree frog.
It's got to be like animals we don't have anymore?
Yes. All right.
It's a long... How about that dodo bird? We don't have that anymore.
Yeah, well, they're not going to have it either unless you guys figure out how to, like, Jurassic Park stuff back to life.
That's so cool. Oh, if I'm talking to my great-grandkids, watch all the Jurassic Park episodes. Those are awesome.
If those movies still exist and you're not living, like, underwater because the rest of the Earth, what if you live not on Earth? Yo, if the Library of Congress still exists and you live on, like, Mars or one of those planets that got discovered, like, a couple months ago where the axis doesn't spin, so there's one completely light half and completely dark half.
That's weird.
It's awesome.
I would put your house right where it's half light, half dark, so you
can that's go scary.
In one. You go in one part, you know, if you need some darkness, you go the other part if you need some light.
That's kind of scary. Okay, we're at 3/4 of the way, so I'm just going to put it down at, we used to have tree frogs. Bye-bye.
Bye. Have a nice, whatever, life. Bye-bye.
Tip, make sure you have at least 500 megabytes of space on your device at work. Oh, no.
What happened? You don't have that?
I'm done. We're done.